just going to miss you so much. Please don't cry.
Chloe's heart started to break. This was why she definitely couldn't handle Elle going to the airport with her.
You will always be my best friend. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. And I thank you for protecting me when I couldn't. I love you, Elle.
She might not be able to hug her and show her love, but she could at least tell her.
I love you too, Chloe.
A tear dripped down her face. Chloe smiled at her as they enjoyed this moment together.
Okay, now stop with the crying. You're going to ruin your makeup.
Elle laughed as she wiped away the tear.
I hope I'm not interrupting, a sweet voice butted in.
Turning, Chloe saw Nero's sister, Maria.
Elle told me you were leaving, and I wanted to see you before you left. I hope you don't mind. Plus, it was a good excuse to come shopping, Maria joked,
taking a seat beside Elle. Chloe's eyes traveled to the man behind her, and she held her breath when his blue-green eyes settled on her. She hadn't seen him since he had gripped that bat in his hands. Truthfully, she hadn't seen Maria since then either. Chloe, Elle, and Lake had been in Nero's apartment when a gunman had broken into the apartment, expecting Maria to be there. However, she had been sick and hadn't come. Chloe never liked to ask questions about why someone had tried to go after Maria, because she didn't feel it was her business. Maria was everything a girl ever wanted to be. She was tall, blonde, and looked like a supermodel. Chloe was convinced she was, considering she always came with bodyguards. Even though she enjoyed Maria's company, she didn't ever feel comfortable with her. After all, not only had she almost died the last time she had tried to spend time with her, but most of the time, Maria's bodyguard ended up being Luca. She barely managed to pull her eyes back to Maria.
I don't mind.
She twisted her hands under the table.
Thank you for coming.
Chloe's eyes moved back to the man, who was now coming closer to the table. His dark appearance didn't remind her so much of their last encounter. Instead, it reminded her of their meetings under the white gazebo in Caruso's backyard. The first time she had met him was the night Elle had been attacked while going to work. Elle had been terrified of him at the time, but she had also found him attractive. Any attractiveness she had seen in him had disappeared the night he had crashed a bat down ruthlessly, showing her his true self. Or so she had thought. She had expected to be horrified and disgusted if she ever saw him again. Instead, she found she just found him chilling. Luca's cold voice shivered up her spine.
Still running away, darling.
She slowly nodded her head, knowing exactly what he meant by running. He seemed to somehow always know the hidden secret she kept locked away. Amo came to the table then, setting down a tray of food in front of Chloe. He seemed to stare Luca down for a moment before he took a seat beside her. Luca kept his eyes on Amo for an extra second before he turned his gaze back to Chloe.
Be careful out there, darling. You won't have anyone to save you if you get into trouble.
Watching him leave to take a seat at the table behind Maria, she saw he sat down, facing her. It felt like he was looking into her soul.
Chloe, are you going to eat?
Amo's voice finally had her looking away.
Yeah.
Trying to shake off Luca staring at her, she did her best to ignore him as she picked up some fries.
Are you all packed up, Chloe?
Maria asked, stealing some of Nero and Elle's fries that he had brought to the table. She could see another scary man take a seat beside Luca. Another bodyguard? She swallowed hard. Another bodyguard meant it was bad for Maria.
For the most part.
Luca's eyes had yet to move from her. You could always feel his eyes on you. It was like his gaze created ice on your skin.
What time does your flight leave?
Amo asked as he slung his arm over the back of her chair. She didn't know why she looked at Luca when he did that, but she could feel him wanting to slowly kill Amo. She had seen that look on him before when he had taken a baseball bat to a lifeless body.
11.
Amo leaned in closer to her, almost brushing her shoulder when he stole a fry off her plate.
In the morning?
She could imagine it now. Imagine Luca killing Amo. It was like the fury in his death glare was painting a picture in her mind. Somehow she managed a nod. Between Amo's close body and Luca's daggers being thrown from his eyes, she didn't know what was going on. She wanted to rip her skin off. She was that uncomfortable.
I can't take it!
Quickly she stood from the table, grabbing her purse.
I'm not hungry. I'm going to get my suitcase.
I can go with-
No, stay.
She cut Amo off, then took a quick, calming breath.
It's just right there. I'll be back in a minute.
She quickly walked away, leaving stunned faces behind. She headed to the luggage store that was right at the beginning of the food court.
Calm down, Chloe,
she told herself, reaching the safety of the store that was far enough away from Amo and Luca to breathe. Staring at the suitcases, she managed to ignore what had just happened enough to pick the size she needed, then wheeled it to the checkout counter. The line was so long it curved the registers. Waiting for her turn, she patiently stood. However, the longer she waited in line, the stronger a feeling came over her that she was being watched. Looking around, she didn't see them at the tables anymore. When she scanned the food court, she found Elle, Nero, and Amo waiting in line to get a pretzel. They loved the pizza pretzels and always had to get one to take home for later. She noticed Amo glance in her direction, but he wasn't the one she felt staring at her. Scanning the other side of the food court, she then saw Maria in a small shoe store with her bodyguard. However, Luca stood by the shoe store door, watching the passerbys until his eyes settled on her. Still, his stare wasn't what brought the feeling that was taking over her body. With it only getting stronger, she was about to get out of line, when a woman's voice stopped her.
Will that be all?
Nodding her head, she handed the sales clerk the suitcase to ring it up, then her credit card, wanting to quickly leave. While the cashier charged her card, she looked out the window into the mall and met the eyes her nightmares were made of. Clutching the counter, she kept telling herself frantically she was imagining the face staring back at her.
Here you go. Thank you. Come again.
Chloe snapped her eyes back to the woman behind the counter, then back to the spot she had seen.
He's not there.
Letting out her breath and trying to control her racing heart, she realized it had just been another figment of her imagination.
Luca is doing this to you. Thanks.
She took her card and suitcase. Many times the devil haunted her sleep or even when she was awake. This time, it felt more real than usual. Only one other time had it felt so real, and Luca had been there.
See, it's just him.
Coming out of the store, she rolled her suitcase behind her as she scanned the mall. She found Amo, Nero, and L checking out on one side of the food court. And on the other side, Luca still guarded the shoe store with Maria. Taking a step forward, she found herself freezing in place, a horrible feeling rocking through her body.
"Stay still, little girl."
Bang! Bang! Chaos ensued as gunshots rang throughout the air behind her. Screaming people ran as fast as their legs could take them to the exit at the back of the food court. Nero protected Elle, running toward the exit, while Maria's bodyguard protected her, also heading toward the exit. Unable to find her legs, she felt like everything was going in slow motion as people ran past her.
"Or it'll just hurt worse."
"Chloe!" Amo's voice boomed as he tried to move forward to get to her. But the running people were coming at him, making it impossible. Her heart thudded once in her ear as she took a step toward Amo.
"Chloe, move!"
Luca demanded from the other side, fighting against the flood of people, trying to reach her. Her heart thudded again, and she took another step forward, this time toward Luca.
"This way, Chloe," Amo pleaded. "To me, Chloe,"
Luca demanded. Time stood still before her as she looked at the two men desperately trying to fight their way to her. They both stood equal distances apart from her. Her mind felt pulled to the right toward Amo, yet her body felt pulled to the left toward Luca. As she looked at Amo, memories flashed before her. Smiling proudly, he took his seat.
"You thought I wasn't going to actually sit beside you, didn't you?"
Chloe's answer was scooting her chair over to the very edge, though it didn't give her much more room because he practically took up the whole table. By his smirk disappearing, she could tell he didn't like her answer very much. When a tray was extended to her, she looked up to see Amo holding it out for her. It was the first time she could see something that almost seemed nice under his rough exterior. Slowly, she took it from him, having to look away as she did. She had grown almost used to the roughness of him, and seeing him differently for once seemed weird.
"You know why they're staring like that, don't you?"
She looked to the floor.
"Because they think I'm a freak."
"No, you're not a freak," Amo snapped.
He paused for just an instant before he said,
"It's because they've never seen me walk a girl to class before." "Place your hands on the table," he whispered over to her.
She quickly shook her head and started to press her nails into the skin.
"Please, Chloe, I can't take you doing that to yourself," he pleaded.
When she glanced at him, it was the first time she really looked at him, like really looked into his eyes. They weren't the black abyss staring back at her like she had always thought. They might have been dark, but they also had a lightness to them, almost like a sparkle of silver running through, giving them life. They were dark yet light, reminding her of yin and yang. Taking a breath, she placed her hands on the table. The next song was louder than the last, making Amo lean down to whisper in her ear.
"Will you dance with me then?"
His breath was warm as it touched her skin, his body just a few inches away. It was the closest he had ever been to her, making the hairs stand up on the back of her neck.
"When you're sitting in California, and I'm missing you, I'll regret that I didn't get to dance with you once."
She now turned her eyes to Luca, the memory of when they first met flashing.
"Hey, darling,
a deep voice sounded behind her. Chloe jumped at the sound. A second later, a man appeared on the other side of the rails. He was terrifyingly beautiful and scared the hell out of her, regardless of how handsome he was. She didn't think that a man that good-looking should even exist, or a man that chilling. Chloe didn't move a muscle, completely frozen in place. He kept walking toward the entrance of the gazebo and went up a step.
"I didn't mean to scare you."
She had no idea how she hadn't heard him. She didn't even know where he had come from. She watched him lean up on a pillar, blocking her exit. After every hair had managed to stand up on her body at one look of his eyes, Chloe darted her gaze down to her lap and started fiddling with her hands.
"I'm Nero's brother, Luca. I would shake your hand, but you wouldn't shake it anyway."
Chloe quickly glanced back up at him before looking down again. How did he know that? Luca read her eyes.
"I overheard that you're apparently germophobic."
Chloe glanced back up at him again. Apparently? He was really starting to freak her out now. Chloe attempted to decide if she should honestly be afraid and tried to run away. Yes, I should. However, Luca was blocking the only exit, and she was not going anywhere near him. Chloe saw him move. As a result, she regretfully had to look at him again. She held her breath when he put his hand into his pocket to pull something out. When a pack of cigarettes came out, she let out her breath. She continued to watch him pull a cigarette out and then hold it between his lips as he put the pack back in his pocket. Going into his other pocket, he pulled out a lighter. Chloe thought she was going to have a heart attack if he went into his pocket again. Luca flipped his lighter open and lit the end, making it burn a bright red as he inhaled.
"You don't mind, do you?"
Chloe slowly shook her head. She wished she could look away from him, but she was too afraid. She could tell he was Nero's brother, without a doubt. They both oozed confidence and sex. They looked very similar as well. Luca had the same skin color, but she couldn't quite tell if his hair was black or brown. The same went with his eyes. She couldn't tell if they were blue or green. She would swear they were one color before the string lights picked up the other color, changing her mind all over again. Luca, however, was a billion times more frightening and a million times more handsome than Nero. She figured it had to do with the age gap. But one thing they were very different about was the way they dressed. Nero only dressed in button-up shirts and slacks, while Luca was wearing a black sweatshirt and dark, loose jeans. She wasn't used to seeing hair as long as his. It was swept back, yet it touched the back of his neck. He clearly didn't care if it was trimmed and neat, just like his unshaven stubble. Everyone she was around always looked immaculate, making his bad boy appearance more like, "Don't cross me, or I will murder your entire family tree." "I don't think it matters what he wears. He would look like that, regardless."
"Aren't you a little cold out here, darling?"
His voice also oozed just as much confidence as Nero. She felt uncomfortable with him calling her that.
"If I tell him my name, he'll stop. My name is Chloe."
She watched him smile as he took a puff, holding the cigarette between his thumb and index finger. He exhaled.
"The mayor's daughter, right?"
Chloe nodded gently. She knew that practically everyone was aware she was the mayor's only child. Right?
You were in that car wreck a few years back. I remember reading about it in the papers. Is that how you tell everyone you got those scars?
Luca tapped his ashes in the snow without moving his eyes from her. Chloe swallowed and looked back down at her hands.
That is how I got them.
No, it's not. I know a knife cut when I see one.
Chloe glimpsed back up at him.
How did he know? I don't know what you're talking about.
Luca flicked his cigarette in the yard.
Yeah, you do.
A chill went down her spine at his words, causing her to stand, not able to stay around him any longer, and not liking where this was headed. She walked a step forward, hoping he would move. His muscular frame was blocking the whole entryway. She didn't want to know how many hours he'd spent in the gym. She could see his muscles through his thick, dark sweatshirt. When he still didn't move, she gradually moved up more.
Please move, please move.
Chloe was now just a few small steps away, refusing to go any farther.
Can you let me through?
Her legs started to shake when he dipped his hand back into his pocket. Her heels made it hard for her to hold herself up. Luca pulled out another cigarette and flipped his lighter open. He slowly lit the end, not moving his eyes from her. He blew the smoke out, making it roll over her body. Instead of putting the lighter back in his pocket, he flicked it again, and the silver Zippo shot out a flame. Luca did one of his tricks, rolling the lighted Zippo in between each of his fingers.
I will, if you tell me how old you are.
Wait, what?
Chloe became entranced, staring at the flame expertly passing through his fingers. She didn't know how he didn't let it burn himself. Chloe mindlessly answered and asked her own question, captivated by the glow.
17. You?
Luca suddenly flipped the lighter closed.
26.
Something told her he wasn't very happy about her answer by the look on his face.
26.
She had no clue why she'd asked how old he was. After she'd watched him move slightly to let her pass, she really wished he would give her more room than that. Chloe slowly walked up and turned her body to the side, keeping her eyes on him, afraid he would move when she passed through. She held her breath as she carefully started to move by him. Her face came to the middle of his chest, even in heels, and his shoulders came right above her head. When she had successfully passed him somehow, with just mere centimeters apart, Chloe started walking as fast as she could, trying not to run back to the house. Luca's voice carried across the yard.
You can't run from the truth forever, darling.
Chloe picked up her feet faster.
Yes, I can. I've been doing it for years.
She picked up her feet, going toward the man with the blue-green eyes who commanded her body. Crack! The sound of broken bones greeted her ears as a baseball bat slammed down into a limp body. Snap! Another flash of the bat, making contact with the man's leg, the man who lay practically lifeless on the floor. He raised the bat once more, pausing only to look her in the eyes. An evil pair of blue-green eyes stared back at her, making her blood run cold. She watched him grip the neck of the bat with a force so intense she was positive it was going to shatter before the bat was brought down for its final time. Crunch. As she watched the man inhale the air around him, he looked crazed, his appearance disheveled. Then he slicked his overgrown hair back in place, and you could see the slight smile come to his lips. Turning her eyes back to Amo, she saw him screaming, horror gripping his face to get to her, to save her.
I'm the nice one.
Glancing at him for a moment, she began to think she might have been too harsh on him. This clearly was a touchy subject for him.
I guess you will have to prove it.
She smiled at him. He smiled back.
I can do that.
There was always a moment in time, one faced in life, when a choice must be made. And this was her moment. Time unfroze. She kicked her feet up off the ground, running into the arms of the man she had chosen to protect her. His arms circled around her as she took a shuddering breath. They were the first arms to hold her in years. Holding her close, Amo whispered into her ear,
I've got you.
Chapter 38. I can't be fixed. Not by you, not by anyone. I'm just broken. Chloe squeezed her hands together on her lap, silently staring ahead as Amo drove her home. Luca's face was going to haunt her for the rest of her life. The look he had given her as Amo carried her out of the mall was one she would never forget. It wasn't going to haunt her because it scared her. It was going to haunt her because the look in his eyes had shattered her. He didn't even meet her eyes when he ordered Amo to immediately take her home.
Is the air conditioning too cold?
Luca's face disappeared from her mind at Amo's question.
No.
What had had her shivering was not only Luca's face, but also sitting in the car with Amo. His dark gaze kept coming to her face as if he wanted to say something. She was so tense, it was a relief when he finally pulled into her driveway. Chloe brought her hand to the door handle, prepared to jump out of the car.
Wait.
She froze at his word.
Stay. And go to college here, with Elle and Lake.
Amo shifted in his seat to face her fully.
I could take some classes. Who is going to walk you to class when Elle or I aren't there?
Chloe kept her gaze down, looking at him through her lashes.
I'll have to get used to being on my own.
But if you stayed here, you wouldn't have to.
What happened at the mall hadn't changed anything for her. It had only solidified that she had to keep running.
Elle won't have to watch out for me anymore. She can finally enjoy school at college, with me not getting in her way. I want that for her.
What about you? What about me?
He tried to keep his voice even.
I'll adjust. It will be good for me. You have Nero and Vincent, and your job at the casino hotel to keep you so busy, you won't even remember me.
I'll remember you,
Amo whispered. Her heart started to hurt for him. She could feel her resolve begin to slip away. If she didn't get out of this car, she was afraid he might change her mind.
That you walked me to class for a few months? That my best friend is your friend's girlfriend?
Amo pounded his hand on the steering wheel.
You're not like any other girl I know, Chloe.
Calming his breathing, he whispered the words,
I love you.
Chloe's heart beat against her chest. That was exactly what she had been afraid of. Jumping out of the car, she ran toward her front door.
He can't love me.
Fucking wait!
Amo ran to her with pleading eyes.
Kill it. You have to kill what's between us so you won't kill him. We're friends, Amo. If I stay, I can't. I will never be what you want. You need a girl like Elle or Lake. Even a girl like Cassandra would be better than me. You love being with your friends, and I like being alone. That's why I'm leaving.
She lied for Amo's sake. He deserved a normal girl, not someone who was afraid of her own shadow.
No one likes to be alone, he told her softly.
Chloe wished she could brush away normal tears, not the ghost tears that wanted to fall down her cheeks.
I'm not normal. I'm a freak.
Taking a harsh breath, she hated herself for the words she was about to say.
You said so yourself.
Amo paled.
Fucking freak, was said,
followed by laughter, filling the space with continuous echoes of the word freak. She had watched him mouth the word freshman year as she entered the lunchroom for the first time with her new scars. He looked away from her.
Why didn't you say something?
What was I supposed to say?
Chloe put her hands on the front door.
Bye, Amo.
Tears filled his eyes.
I didn't mean it.
I know you didn't. It's okay, Amo. We're even. I called you a beast.
She opened the door, going inside. Then she reached out to close the door.
I can't be fixed. Not by you. Not by anyone. I'm just broken.
Shutting the door and closing out his glossy dark gaze somehow broke her even more than she already was. Chloe wiped the scar on her cheek, feeling moisture. A single, real tear had finally fallen.
I'm so sorry, Amo.
Chloe quickly shoved her suitcases into the trunk of her car, wanting to be long gone before her parents got back from a dinner after his city council meeting. The last suitcase, which she had actually taken from her mom's closet since she hadn't been able to retrieve the one she had bought, was finally shoved in. After Amo had left, Chloe had decided she needed to leave now. She was afraid to see how she felt in the morning, and she didn't want to give Amo a chance to meet her at the airport before her flight took off. Therefore, she had called and gotten her flight changed to leave in 3 hours. She had written 2 notes. One was for Lana, which she had left in the cleaning closet, telling her that she loved her and not to worry about her. And also, how she was sorry she didn't say goodbye to her face. The second note was for her parents, telling them that she had decided to leave early and that the key to her car would be placed in the hidden key box above her tire. It was sad that the one she had said, I love you to, wasn't the one you would think. Getting in the car, Chloe took one last look at the house that had never been a home, but had been her prison. As she drove away, she could feel the chains slowly start to break as she left her prison and then her city behind. Breaking free was a paramount feeling she would always remember. Chloe rolled down the window, letting the warm summer air whip across her face. Taking a deep breath in, she felt the last chain break.
I've finally reached freedom.
It was going to be close, but she would make the plane. Most of her time was spent trying to find the correct parking area. Chloe parked her car in the desolate-looking parking garage. Pulling out her suitcases and backpacks, she locked her doors, then went to her rear wheel. Her fingers fumbled as they searched for the hidden key box that was stuck to the underside of the car. Bending down farther to look for it, her fingers finally grasped the box.
Got it.
a hard body wrapped around her, along with a cloth covering her mouth and nose. The hand behind the cloth stifled any screams or protests she could have made, and the strong body kept her in place.
"Stay still, little girl."
There was no fight to be had. Her vision went blurry as it all started to fade away.
"Or it'll just hurt worse."
She had known it was too good to be true. Her soul belonged to the devil. Chapter 39. The story behind the scar, the story of sadness, grief, and torture. 7 months earlier. Pulling his classic black Cadillac onto the side of the street, he positioned himself perfectly to watch the house. He looked at the clock and saw he had timed it perfectly.
"School's out."
He flipped his lighter off and on, waiting for her return. Luca had never been good at sitting still, nor was he a very patient man when he was tired. The night before had been a long one, and his body still felt it this afternoon. Regardless, he had enjoyed every second of it. Last night, he had lain Mr. Johnson to rest and held up his promise of fucking the blonde until she regretted it. Both things had satiated his dark side. For now, anyway. Luca flipped his lighter closed as a stuck-up BMW pulled into the driveway. He had never trusted a German car. The only thing good about it was its black paint color. A strawberry blonde exited the car.
Elle Buchanan.
He couldn't help the sneer he pasted on his face. His little brother was in big fucking trouble. Watching her walk to the front door, he believed the girl only got prettier the more you looked at her.
"It's going to be a shame when I have to strangle the life out of her."
One thing was for sure. The girl was going to die. And nothing was going to save her. It was unfortunate she had been there when the trigger had been pulled, but some girls were just born unlucky. This one in particular. She was only going to make it another month to her 18th birthday. The stuck-up-looking car reversed, drawing back his attention. He wondered who would drop off a girl in this neighborhood. Truthfully, he was a little shocked this was the address, considering the girl had come from a prep school. Looking at the clock again, he noticed there was a bit of time before Elle went to work. His gut told him to follow the car. Anyone she hung out with could possibly be collateral damage if her fucking mouth blabbed too much. Luca started his car, deciding to follow the BMW. He kept a good distance back, following it in a direction he hadn't been expecting. This part of town was mostly owned by the city, along with some expensive restaurants and shops. Watching the car pull into one of the most expensive shops in town, he parked on the street and pulled out his cell phone to text the license plate number to a friend. He waited in anticipation, the curiosity slowly eating away at him, only growing worse when the car door opened. Immediately, he knew it was a woman when tall black boots and black jeans hit the ground. The next thing he noticed was her long, silky hair. It was the blackest hair he had ever seen. He desperately wanted a glimpse of her face, but she never turned around. Luca found himself turning off the car and getting out, wondering how this was more important than anything else he could do with his time. His instincts were what kept him going, following her into the store. Luca prided himself on being able to go unnoticed. His appearance of dark jeans, black shirts, and black sweatshirts allowed him to do that. Plus, his scruffy face and hair. He could go places no one in the family could go. Made men demanded attention with their suits and immaculate grooming, whereas he didn't need that kind of attention. I have other ways to get the attention I demand. Entering the store undetected was easy, with all the expensive shit it held. He navigated the store, finding the girl in all black who seemed to be looking for a particular piece. A slight glimpse of the left side of her face revealed her soft, porcelain skin. He stalked closer. Have I seen her before? Another small glimpse revealed her young age. Stopping, he was about to turn around. She's too young. The girl turned, then went back to a table she had missed. His heart stopped a beat when he saw the whole left side of her face and a striking gray eye. The other half of her face was covered by a veil of hair. He wished he could reach out to feel the pure black strands of silk and move it to reveal the rest of her face. Leave now. Nothing good would come of this. He should have left the moment he had noticed she was just a teenage girl. He was unable to place it yet, but something about her called to him. It kept him from looking away from the girl and leaving. The whole thing felt so wrong, yet so right. He was being pulled in different directions. His mind told him to leave, but his body kept him patiently waiting. Watching her hand go up to her face, he felt his breath catch in his throat when she swept her hair behind her ear. Fuck. His heart skipped another beat at the sight of her face in its entirety. His eyes traveled down the right side of her gorgeous face that held a scar from above her eyebrow down to the hollow of her cheek. Another one graced the right side, above and below her luscious lips. The instinct to let his fingertips glide down each mark was so strong he thought he might break his cover. Her gray eyes held the story behind the scar, a story of sadness, grief, and torture. It was like staring at a perfect porcelain doll that had been dropped one too many times. Others would see a flaw in the cracked doll, making her no longer perfect. But he saw only beauty. She was the most beautiful creature he had ever seen. He could watch her study the delicate piece with gentle hands for hours. The gold ornate piece she was infatuated with was unfamiliar to him until she opened the egg-shaped object and music began to play. Her eyes danced as she watched a ballerina twirl to the music. He wondered what it would feel like if she looked at him that way.
It's a beautiful piece, isn't it?
The older woman, who looked to be the store owner, asked as she came up to her. The girl quickly became startled, shutting the music box. He wanted her to go back to the way she had been a moment before. When her tongue peeked out to lick her lips, he eagerly waited to hear the voice that belonged to her.
Yes.
She went back to looking at the box, avoiding the gaze of the woman.
How much is it? $3,000.
She removed her fingers from the piece.
Oh.
The woman kindly smiled. I know Christmas just passed,
but you could always ask for it for your birthday, maybe. I could hold it.
She shook her head.
Thank you, but it's too much.
The lady smiled.
Well, you could always come back if you talk your parents into it.
Thank you.
The girl took one last glance at the music box before she left the store. Watching her leave was harder than he had thought it would be. He wouldn't be able to come out of the store until she pulled out. Therefore, he had to watch her go to the car through the display window, and that wasn't close enough for him. A vibration in his pocket had him pulling out his cell phone. He didn't say a word when he accepted the call. His friend Sal came over the phone.
The BMW is registered to Maxwell Masters.
That wasn't what he had expected, though it explained why he felt like he had seen her before.
Girl.
Lucas spoke into the phone carefully, watching her approach the driver's side.
He's married to Elaine Mast... Younger.
He cut him off. Sal paused.
Scar?
Luca's eyes traced her markings.
Yes. That's Maxwell's daughter, Chloe Masters.
He ended the call with a push of a button. Time stood still for him as he soaked in anything and everything he could about her before she disappeared into the car. There was always a moment one faced in life when a choice had to be made. And this was his. Her tortured soul called to his dark one, whispering for him to save her. His heart was now slow, steady, finding its purpose. Chloe Masters. Taking one last look at the scar on her face, he couldn't wait for the day he could run his fingers across it. Beautiful. Chapter 40. The Being Behind the Door. The cold metal table underneath her was a stark contrast to her burning face from what seemed like pointless crying.
Please stop.
No amount of her kicking and fighting was a match for what felt like millions of hands holding her down. The laughter from the evil man who held a knife rang through her ears, mocking.
Stay still, little girl.
He drew the knife closer to her face.
Or it'll just hurt worse.
Looking at his abnormally large black eyes, she was sure she was looking into the eyes of the devil. The silver blade inched closer and closer to her right eye, until it was mere centimeters from her pupil.
Don't blink.
A tear welled up in her eye, making it even harder as she struggled to keep her eye open. Her body began to tremble. She was going to blink.
Don't blink, little girl.
He warned her again. The tear fell, and her eye started to close.
Chloe!
Amo's voice boomed. A flicker of light entered her mind.
This way, Chloe!
Amo pleaded. Another flicker of light had her eyes shooting open. Sitting up so abruptly made her feel lightheaded. The bed, along with the big room, was one she didn't recognize, which made her heart pound like a drum in her ears.
No, he's got me, and no one knows I'm even here.
Shakily, Chloe stood from the bed, going over to the nightstand. Her hand reached out.
The devil will kill me this time. He promised me he would.
Once she opened the expensive gold music box, the familiar lullaby began to play. It was then she realized that it couldn't be hers.
Chloe stepped to the huge window with a hitch in her breath. She slowly reached out to pull back the curtain.
No one will save me this time.
Pulling back the curtain, she held her breath as she was greeted with a beautiful garden, along with the white gazebo she had found herself under before with... The door creaked open, and Chloe turned to meet the being behind the door. The dark voice made her gasp for air.
Hey, darling.
Chapter 41. The Moment. You thought she had a choice? No. The boogeyman had decided her fate the moment he had looked upon her scarred face. The moment. There's always a moment one faces in life, a moment one could never forget. And in this moment, you would swear time stood still. After that moment, the tears begin to burn your cheeks. Your soul feels as if it were touched by darkness. And even if you never believed in God, your knees begin to bleed from praying so much. I faced that moment, a moment I will never forget. And in that moment, time did stand still. But my cheeks healed with time. My soul fought the darkness with light. And my knees, now calloused and scarred, are stronger than ever for the next moment when time stutters. Sarah Brienne. Please, if you or someone you know ever needs help, follow this link to get more information and help. You are not alone. www.victimsofcrime.org/help-4-crime-victims/national-hotlines-and-helpful-links. This has been an Audible Studios production of Chloe, Made Men No. 3. Written by Sarah Brienne. Performed by Katie McCable. Producer Mike Charzuk. Copyright 2016 by Sarah Brienne. Production copyright 2016 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc. If you have enjoyed this audiobook, be sure to get more books in the Made Men series today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.